Welcome to another episode. Again and again and again. Today's episode, pure vibes. Pure vibes. Like my Gen Z people will say, it's giving. It is giving what it's supposed to give. It really reflected my... This episode definitely reflected my relationship with our guest, and it was just beautiful. I think having both of us be people with very differing or some type of different views, and being on the podcast and being comfortable with that to share with the world, I think is the height of vulnerability in probably this entire podcast. So sit back, relax, and enjoy it. I'll see you on the other side. Welcome to the Pink Glasses Combo again for another episode. Thank you all for listening and following so far. It definitely has been an amazing season. It's so good to just see what God is doing through Pink Glasses Convo. Please keep sharing. Please keep engaging. On today's episode, I think I've been having some very, very serious episodes the last couple of weeks. But today is just pure vibes. It's pure vibes. Because the person that I am, normally, no. You know, she gets as it be. But then again, having her is just, you know, it's just a blessing. And I'm just so grateful to have her. And I'm just so grateful to have her on board. She's a very good friend of mine. We have been through seasons together. I was going to have her and another friend that we did an episode together, but I'm like, I don't want to feature my other friend twice. It's just going to be too chaotic. As in, you will be like, you people have should have just off the mic, because there's no point in us listening to the conversation. But I am so happy to have my friend on here, my very good friend, my sister. My OG. I don't even know. I should wipe you so that you're to be swelling. I'll call you tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? I'm not doing that. But I'm really happy to have Shewin on with us today to talk about today's topic. Shewin is calculation, mass, number is in our brain like this. You know, she is great with numbers. She's an amazing mom. She's an amazing wife. She's an amazing friend. She's an amazing worker. She likes people like Kilo Day. On top of that, she even made her welfare secretary. So that's how much, you know, she loves people. I mean, we'll talk more about our friendship, because today's episode is about friendship. So I couldn't even think of anybody else to do today's episode with. So y'all welcome Shewin to today's episode. Madam, introduce yourself. Hey, this is how this episode is gonna go. I'm sorry for y'all that listens to today's episode.
Okay, hi everyone, PGC fam. My name is Oluwa Shew Ayidu Ni Oshin. I know this one will be hard for the non-Nigerians to pronounce, but anywho. So yes, I am a wife and a mom of one. I studied mathematics in school, university. I was a welfare. In fact, this welfare secretary thing, it is, I don't even know. You know, in my current place of work, I am in two welfare teams for some reason, I don't know.
So, are you for real?
Yes, I mean, like, my department welfare team. I like that. Now the whole unit, too, I'm also in the welfare team. In church, I'm a teens teacher. I am in the welfare team of teens, the teens group. So it's like, for some reason, anywhere I enter, but that's never, I'm just talking about my, I'm just introducing myself. But yes, anywhere I enter the welfare team, they just say welfareism. But we thank the Lord. Thank God for grace. So yes, I mentioned I'm a teams teacher and I work with an international bank as an internal control officer. So yes, I work with internal
control. She's making money. She's a banker. My friend is swimming in dollars. She's swimming in money.
Yes, sis, I receive it. So yes, that's about it.
Welcome as our guest for today's episode. I mean, like I said, today's episode is all about friendship. You know, like I always say, when we talk or topics that we cover on PGC doesn't speak for everybody and doesn't say that that's how everybody's friendship should be or that's how everybody's life should be or that's how everybody's experience should be. We're talking from our own experiences and our own identities, right? And so anything you hear today is not like, oh my God, because Ola's like, it has to always be this way. Please don't come and put shake shake in my hand and shake shake in my leg. Oh, sorry. I've warned you before that this episode is just going to be pure vibes. I pray that God will breathe his breath upon this episode so that people can take something from this conversation. And I know that they will, because you know, aside from us being friends, apart from us having just pure vibes and having such a great relationship, there is so much that I know that you have to give to people from your experiences and from life. So let's kind of talk about our friendship a little bit. Let's kind of put ourselves out there, kind of expose ourselves a little bit. Say your own side of the story of how we met.
Okay. I won't even lie. I've tried before now. I have tried to remember the first time, right? The first me meeting you. I cannot remember that thing. I won't even lie. But I remember the very first thing I remember, because maybe that was the moment, it was when, I don't even remember, but it was definitely not our first meeting, but it was the first couple of months when you invited me, you were going out with your dad and I tagged along.
What?
You probably do not remember. You most likely, I am very certain you do not remember that.
Wait a minute.
I can't remember now.
We went to SS. We went to Sweet Sensation.
So there's this club. I can't remember the
Country Club.
That was...
Are you for real?
Yes. So how we met, like this scene, how I saw you for the first time, no, I cannot remember that, to be very honest, right? But it was from that time I knew that
in your sense.
You look at me that I'm worthy of announcing with your father. Wow.
I haven't, until you mentioned it. My mouth is in like a big O right now because I'm so shocked. I haven't remembered, like in all of our conversations, that you actually went with me and my dad on an outing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait, I do remember that. Oh, wow. Man, you know me too much. What's that?
No, thanks.
But I think I do remember how we met, though. I think we went to the same college. So just to kind of say that. So that's where we met. We met being at the same college, but not necessarily the college itself, but the Christian fellowship that we were together.
Yeah.
So I think it's important for us to lay that foundation of we not just meet in the road and boom, my dad got to go and follow me and my father somewhere. Please, I'm not that, I'm nice, but my heart is not that big. But I believe, now that I think about it, the Holy Spirit is going to help me. I believe where we met was actually my first time at fellowship.
I remember now. It was in Kofo. It was not even, I think, I had gone to see someone in that hostel, even not Kofu, one of those two hostels, right? And
it was Kofu.
I think we were, we were seeing somebody off. I don't know why I went to see. I can't remember where I went to see. I was seeing somebody off, and you just came, and you're like, "This is already every day." Like, I don't know. You probably had spoken to the person before then, and you're like, "Oh, I'll see you church on Sunday." We're all smiling and all happy and all, you know. Probably don't remember, but yes, that happened.
I don't.
And then Sunday after, you now came to fellowship, right? And I'm sure from there. But I remember that you just said hi to somebody I came to see. I can't remember the person I even went to see at the time. But I went to someone and then you just said, hi, I'll see you guys. I think we were wearing garments, right? Or something. I can't remember now. But I remember that you just saying, hi, hello. That part. But yeah.
See this life. We all have different versions. Because I actually do not remember. So you have thought about me that's who I am, but
oh well.
I feel like oh my goodness, because I actually feel like it was the first, I don't think my first day at fellowship was a Sunday, I think it was a weekday. My memory could be mixing, because I came with Bamzi, I came with Ayobami, and I remember like bringing her, and till the end of school, and even till now, they still add her to like chats and like stuff like that, and I'm like, this girl only came to church once, don't let me cast her. But if you listen to our previous episode, you know the best thing I'm talking about. I'm probably going to get like a message in like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 on how I'm casting her in public, you know. But long and short is that we met and we bonded. She was the assistant, you were the assistant welfare secretary at that point. At the point, I mean, she was a fellowship executive from like her second year till like her final year. She was in second year, I was in first year, and I don't know.
I think she was my senior.
You were my senior now.
Okay, I just wanted to mention that part again.
This is it, y'all. This is the relationship. This is all you need to know. It's on paper. We our heart bonded, like we're on the same level in the spirit. We had the same God. Our heart was towards God, you know. But truly, though, you were in second year and I was in first year, and then I was assigned to your department in fellowship, and I think that's where it just clicked. I don't know what clicked, but
it clicked.
It just clicked. There was just a clicking somehow. And we were never in the same hostel. We never went to the same, we never lived in the same place for at least for your 3 years in school. We were never in the same place. Like, you lived with other people, you lived with other friends, but for some reason, both of us, our paths just never crossed for some very weird reasons in terms of like where we lived. But what do you think made us click, though?
This is never what made us click, right? But I think it helped keep the bond, so to say, our backgrounds are sort of similar, right? We sort of have similar backgrounds, and so it did not make it click, but it kept the bond. What made it click? I don't know. I think we just have the same sort of, in quotes, craze, and the same, and both of us like people, right?
Yeah.
We like people. We have that. You remember how in school, in college, you get my point.
In university, let's use our lingua.
Makes it easier. While walking down, and you cannot go to your faculty, we're in two different faculties. In your faculty, you're a popular jingo. My faculty, I'm a popular jingo. I don't know if it was just the love of brethren that just brought us together. And because the love of brethren and the fact that we just like people. It just made it easier.
Yeah.
And our spirits, right, sort of just match, so to say. For lack of a better word. It just clicks. Yeah, so that's it.
I agree. We both were people. I remember then that, like, our other friends would say that never walk on campus with Olalu and Seun because you greet people from the beginning of the of wherever you are coming from.
People tire.
We'll both stop to either greet people from fellowship or greet people from our faculty or greet people in our hostels because we knew everybody on our floor. We were just not the best combination of people to, like, walk with or have quiet time with on campus. And I think that's what made us click. That's why I was in the welfare department as well. And so even when I was just a floor member, because my person was the department lead, there are just some things I was, like, supporting with. Like, I remember going for, like, executive retreats, joining, like, stuff and meetings and all of that, and, like, helping out because what my bestie was there, so they had no choice but to go. But I think it was definitely the love of people. But I really wanted us to share a little bit about our background. I promise this is not just for you to hear about us bands, but I want to share about our the background of our fellowship so that people can, or we're fellowship and friendship, so that people can see where we're coming from and where our friendship started from. And so when we say, like, we went to the same college, this is what it's actually 10 It's going to be 10 years this year or 10 next... Oh, right. Wow. Man, I know you
we too also, Yoruba Oyeka's anniversary in English.
It's your translation for me.
Oyeka's anniversary in English. We ought to do an anniversary.
Yep.
Showing where you're correct. But anyway, to get my point.
An anniversary of friendship. And so that means that we have been through different seasons of life together. I mean, I have other friends that I've been with, you know, longer than 10 years. Well, I've known 10 years, longer than 10 years. But I think for both of us, like, we've just gone through some phases together. Besides going to college, we did our 3 years of, like, our first three weeks. Of paramilitary service, yes, our NYSC. We went to the same camp. And indeed our 3 weeks of, like, orientation together. And we had an horrendous... Okay, let's say it. Let's just talk about the experience. Let's do it. That's all. I'm not even gonna... We're gonna go into, like, the deets and kind of be overall and kind of zoom out a little bit. But let's just share that story. So... I'm going to let you share it, but I'm going to start it. So we the way the 1 year, I call it paramilitary service, called NYSC back in Nigeria, works is that, like, students who, like, after you finish college, you have a 1 year where you kind of serve your country, quote and unquote. And so for that 1 year, the first 3 weeks, you go to a, all things being equal, in air quotes, you go to a different region of the country. And I believe that started to kind of foster unity due to that, the diversity in the country. And so you would go to, for instance, if you're from the southern, if you're from the southeast, you can go to, like, the northwest. If you're from the northeast, you can be in, like, the south-south. Like, they just kind of, like, move you across region. To make it more, like, for my U.S. listeners, for instance, if you're from New York, they can move you to, like, Nevada, right? Like, if you're from the Pacific West out here in Oregon, they can tell you to go to Alabama, right? Like, it's, like, just kind of moving you across to kind of foster diversity and foster unity. So, anyways, and then it's like a system placement. It's not like you say where you want to go. You can say, like, top three places, but it doesn't mean they're going to give you those places. So, for some reason, both of us were put in the same state, River State, in the same batch, in the same year. And I remember I was calling each other, I'm like, ah, I'm going to River State. And I was like, ah, Rivers across the world, like Rivers. And she's like, I'm going to Rivers too. I'm like,
Rivers.
I love where this is going. And so, my dear, because she likes adventure, said we should enter public transport. My mother, that did not like problem, said y'all should fly because of the security issue. Like, just fly. My friend was like, ah, no, we can take public transport and go.
We go by road.
Right? And so we go, madam, please finish the story because I don't even want to, I'm just going to be chiming in. I don't even want to.
Yeah, how do we start the story? Well, it was supposed to be like, what?
10 hours. Yes, it was a 10-hour, supposed to be a 10-hour road trip.
And so we left. And, you know, we started the journey well now. Everything was all right. Everything was going smooth until, I said, what caused the slowness?
Because of the size of the bus.
So we got, like,
if we are taking a smaller bus, we'd have gotten there on time. But the bus didn't tell us that it was going to multiple different routes. So he took the longer route so that it could take more passengers and cover more ground. That's what happened.
Mm-hmm. If we had prior experience, we would have known that taking this big bus was a no-no. But we did not have that knowledge. And so we took the big, mighty bus.
Never again, fam. Nope. Nope.
Okay. And what was supposed to be like a 10-hour turn to like 24 hours. We left Lagos that morning.
5:36.
Very early. I can remember even getting to that I'm meeting you and your mom. I'm like, this is what you used to sleep.
You didn't used to sleep because you're a latecomer. But we'll not go there.
You know, and the bus didn't even move early, right? We left late, and then the journey started, and oh my god. It was on that trip I had a glimpse of what it felt to be like an only child, because,
if you cast my mother, I will play this episode for her, and I will tell her that.
Mama, I love her so much, but, even my sister, you know, I was in Port Harcourt. She was really short time. She got my sister. So, and anyway, long story short, we got to like maybe Delta Oweri. I can't remember the state. Oweri. And it was maybe about Oweri. And it was getting late. And then out of nowhere, they told us that we were going to stay there that night. We went. I don't think I had ever. Before NYC, I never
did. Me too.
Right? And then I'm to sleep in a state I don't have family members.
I don't have friends. I don't have foes. I don't have frenemies.
It was a rumor that, okay, you guys just, you know, be comfortable till tomorrow. Then we move. And we slept on the chairs.
You are the one that stayed. Because you that can sleep anywhere. My sister, let me tell people the right story. She slept. I didn't because my mother was calling me every hour. I cannot wait for you to. I'm gonna feature my mom in an episode in the future.
I cannot wait for episode.
I'm going to feature her so that people can see.
And you know, I don't think we ate anything. We now bought maybe bread and sardine or something. You know, because we just had. It was just so. That journey was so messed up, to be honest.
Oh, I never feel again, bad. Man.
And you know, I think I even two times, but I took one more road trip shiny night.
So I did
that. But apart from that, I was more time. But you know, we thank God. That journey, man. So it was supposed to be a 10-hour road trip, but it turned out to be a 24-hour.
If not more, because what had happened was we stopped at Oweri and we were told that, the bus cannot move again because of like state regulations and the security issues there. And so, you know, buses cannot pass by that route. It's like a dead sentence to pass by that route after that time. This was like, what, 5 years ago, if not more now. And so they were like, you have to sleep. And we're like, why didn't you people tell us that from the original bus park? And so our phones were about to die. My phone had died. It was only my friend's phone, aka Sheon, that was working. And so my mom kept calling. And so I was like, I'm not gonna tell her. She was extremely worried. And she kept calling me. And like By the way, I have a whole episode about what it means to be an only child. So, you know, you'll probably get to listen, or should listen. And so I eventually told her, and I kid y'all not, I'm a PK. I've talked about that already. I'm not even going to go into that. My mom left the house at like almost 12 midnight. My mom doesn't let people, it was 7 o'clock. Even if you are 65 years old, you have a curfew in my mother's house. So long you are under her roof, 7 o'clock, you're inside. My mom left the house at like almost midnight, dressed up for church, went to our home church. I heard this story when I got, it was when I got back and went to church that people were telling me. I heard that my mom dressed up, went to church, and started waking, because our home church, people sleep in like the church area. She was waking everybody. She said, "Oh, yeah, everybody, everybody wake up. Olalu is in trouble." My mom woke, I am serious. She woke the pastor and his wife up at midnight. People at church told me that my mom did vigil until we got to River State. I kid y'all not. I'm going to ask that story when I feature on this podcast. Y'all should get ready. That episode is probably going to be like 2 hours, because at least two hours, just to give you all premium content. But I kid you not, my mom woke everybody in church. When I got back, everybody was like, "What did you do to your mother?" My mom, the moment I got to River State, hey, by the way, it was a 3 weeks camp. It's 3 weeks now, right?
Yeah.
By the time I got to River State, by the second day, my mom had bought my return ticket flight. She bought my flight back, because like I was thinking about, because our graduation was on the last day of camp, so I decided to leave camp a little bit early, like a day early, and some of my friends were leaving too, so we got to fly together. She begged my friend, two of my other friends, she remembers now, so that both all of us could fly on the same flight. And my mom bought my ticket in less than a week. I got my return ticket back to Lagos, and my mom was like, "Ma'am, you staying in Lagos. You ain't going nowhere." And so, anyways, that was one of the trips that definitely kept Chiwen and I's bond, you know, together. But that's always one of it's such an integral part of our friendship and our relationship. But aside from that experience, we've gone through relationships together. We've gone through life stages together. You know, I've seen you be a wife and a mama to an amazing boy that is mine that you just birthed, which is okay. I appreciate you. I appreciate your sacrifice. You know, but I've seen you through that stage, and you've seen me through stages of immigration or migration. You've seen me through stages of grief and loss. You've seen me through stages of pain and hurt. I mean, like, you've seen me through social world changes, you see me through life changes. I've seen you in some of those stages of waiting, right? So we've been in so many different stages together. And I'm so grateful to God for where we are, not because it's perfect, but because God continues to remain faithful in our lives. Amen. I'm going to preach. And so I think, like, giving that background, what do you think is important to keep friendship through different life stages? Because the concept of friendship, see, we've talked about our own story, we hope you enjoyed it, but I want us to really go to the core of, I want us to zoom out and talk about the concept of friendship, not just ours, right? Hey, I talked about us being in seasons, but there were times where both of us just like cut each other off. Like, even while we were in school, like, I remember us like having a conversation like a year later, and we're like, it was just this, what happened? It was just this total cut off. And like, even like there were times even after I moved where there was this silence, because it was a transitional period for me. You know, like there were times for you as well when you were kind of like in the process of giving me my baby boy, where there was quiet as well. So I'm not saying we've been like talking every single day.
Perfect.
Like, we've had moments of, like, seasons of drought, for lack of better words. And so, and I know you have friends in other spaces and other areas and all of that, but in your opinion, what do you think is important to navigate friendship through different life stages?
I think the foundation of friendship is important.
What kind of foundation?
Now, the basis, now this is my definition now. This is my, what I have seen. The basis on which you start that friendship determines how, how worthy it is.
How strong.
How much you are willing to, yeah. How strong. Yeah. The basis of the friendship, because truth is, I mean, we're using our friendship as an example here. Now, we have been through seasons. For me, if we had not been in school together, spending the time that we had spent, if you were like a pen pal or a Facebook friend, or, you know, I might not have been able to, I would not have been there for you or you being there for me. Do you understand? I knew you. We had that foundation where I know you, you know me. I know this person. This is because even now, right? I mean, when I was a wife, you were single, right? And so you don't know what it is like to be a wife. You don't know what it is like to be a mother.
Yeah.
You don't know. However, for some reason, I would still tell, I would tell a fellow, another mother, but I would talk to you. Why? Because I know your capabilities, so to say.
Yeah.
Right? I know how you can help. I know that you are capable, so to say. And,
it's making sense.
But
it's making spirit.
The foundation of friendship matters a lot. Even up till now, it is so hard for me to. I've not made new friends since NYC. That's the truth. I've not made friends that I'll say, you're my person since NYC. For me, if I do not know you well enough, it is hard for you to come into my space. It is very hard for you to come into my space. So I need to know your personality to an extent. You don't have to be perfect. You do not have to be perfect. Of course not. But I just need to know you. And for me to know you, we need to have sort of bonded. Now, it might not... Whether a friendship will last or not, intentionality has to be there. You have to be intentional about it. Because, we have been long distance friends for like, 4 years now. And you can... If you would agree with me that we got closer in these 4 years.
Like, yeah.
We got closer in these 4 years than when we were in the same country. Or in fact, when we were cool together. If we were not intentional, if we did not have that background, there would be no place for us to want to even be intentional about the friendship now.
I concur.
If we did not have that foundation, there is nowhere to say, it is necessary for me to be calling you or for you to be calling me, you know. I mean, I have a colleague that traveled. We worked from like last year till where now? Till sometime this year. I can't remember the months now. But truth is, I don't see the need to. We're cool, right? We can chat, but I'm not sure I'm going to be like that close to that person again. Because I do not know this person enough. Like, this is me personally. I do not know you enough. Are you worthy of my friendship? I don't know. I honestly do not know. I want my friendship to be reciprocated. While you are around, I could tell. I know that you are loyal to me. I am loyal to you. Loyalty is also something that we cannot...
You can't be bought.
Do by precise now. Yes. Do you understand? No matter... I would make friends. I would make new friends. You would make new friends. Who do I know to call? Oh, I want to also mention this. There's something that the last speaker said, I don't want to say the wrong name. She mentioned something, right? And it was so true. I'm like, gosh, I'm like, how you have grown. This is you now, right? You know, I used to be the person that would say, oh, this is wrong with me. And you were just like what you do now, therapist. You say, oh, you do. My motivational speaker, motivator, you motivate me. And at some point, I feel like, Ewa, is it only without problem in life? This girl is her life perfect. She didn't even possess problem, you know, until you also built it. It was, I remember one conversation we had sometime in 2021. You probably don't remember, right? And I legit felt your vulnerability. I legit felt how vulnerable you were. And I'm like, okay.
This girl is growing. I like it.
Okay, you know. And, you know, it's easier when I cannot... I mean, the relationship has to be... what's the word now? You give, I give. One person cannot give and the other person is just receiving.
Right. Sure.
And, you know, one person is giving, the other person is receiving. You know, it has to be beneficial to both of you, right? It makes you stronger. Yeah. It just makes you stronger. I know that I can talk to you. You know that if you need anything, you can talk to me. It just makes it... I mean, I have other friendships that I know that if you need something, you come and meet me. But, when I need something, can I come and meet you? No. I'm not sure. It most likely will not last, you know. But we have a beneficial friendship. This is not money. This is not the
thing. I was going to say that. I literally was just going to say that.
This is not about money. This is not about material also or what's it called? What's the word now?
Financial things or financial things,
tangible or you know, not is it tangible now? All of these things, this is value. Let me just say values. You can share, and that's another thing that has even kept us as friends because we share the same values, right? We believe in, I mean, for example, say family, right? We have similar values, and so it is easy for us to keep our friendship strong.
I don't think you have. I think you wanted to choke us with food and truth that you're just kind of like pushing it, shoving it in our mouth. Like all of you have to listen to this. I think two things to help kind of categorize it. One thing that you said that I heard was vulnerability in friendship. Another thing that I heard you say, which I think was probably quite kind of like your first point, is like the background of the friendship. So when we're asking and we're saying, how do I navigate friendships through different life seasons? What I'm hearing you say is the background of that friendship is really important. The value in that both of you hold in that friendship is really important. Three, vulnerability in that friendship is really important, and intentionality. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. I'm just going to like sizzle and kind of garnish it a little bit into that because
thanks.
I've heard you say it, and I've heard, you know, another good friend of mine talk about my growth in vulnerability. And that's like a completely huge topic on its own.
Different.
But I will say, I started learning that for friendships to work, you have to be intentional. And for you to be intentional, you have to be vulnerable. Now, good old me, when my friends come to me saying like something is going on, hey, I'm like, okay. Something's going on. I'm swinging to action. What can I do? Who do I have to fight?
Yes.
Who do I need to box? Who can I rag a bow? A shoulder like is plenty. What? But when you ask me, oh, no, you do. Fine.
Fine.
And of course, that is from I've talked about, you know, my experience as an only child. I talked on another mm-hmm. episode on, mm-hmm. you know, my experience as a pastor's kid and how those two really play a role in, like, me just shoving everything in. I have learned to just take it upon myself because I'm an only child. Like, I got to deal with it myself. It's me, myself, and I. I'm my biggest, I told myself I can be my only biggest cheerleader and I can be my only biggest critique. So before you critique me about something, I promise you that 90% of the time, I have already critiqued myself and I know that I'm lacking in that area. But when you not tell me, you scatter my obloganta, I'm like, what? You mean that this thing is, like, I must be terrible at this, right? And so that is why, and I'm grateful to God that, like, you all that are in my corner and some of you, my friends, are seeing that. And I think that has come with, like, having a podcast. Even with the podcast, I still say things that, mm-hmm. like, my friends are like, talk now. Like, mm-hmm. just let it come out of your mouth. And I'm like, easy, easy. Baby girl is learning. Small, small. Easy, easy. However, in, like, private spaces or in, like, other spaces, I'm learning to be vulnerable, even in my relationship and even in my friendship. It's like, I'm learning to be vulnerable and be open and be intentional. And I think we talked about it in season one as well, where I was talking about, like, friendship and community and all of that. Because if not, your hearts are not connecting. When there's a lack of vulnerability, our hearts are not connecting. Right? If you ask me how I'm doing and I say I'm fine and you tell me what's going on with you, it goes back to what you were saying about symbiotic, right? Like, both of us have to beneficial. It has to be a amen. Okay. It has to be a symbiotic relationship. And I'm not saying that you have friends because you want them to connect you to I mean, that's the whole thing I even want us to talk about, where friendships are just limited to, like, what connections you have, what networks you have, how much money you have, are we within the same financial group? I think, like, when we talk about symbiotic, is that you might not be on the exact same level of vulnerability, but that both of you are intentional in making it work. And it's not just in calling. Let me tell you, the person I have on today is a terrible caller and a terrible texter. She is the worst in the whole of mankind. She is the worst. Absolutely. I can text her, text her, email her, call her like 65 times, and she's not going to call me back. But the one day that she will call you, you will be like, it's okay, off your mic. I get it. Yeah, welcome back. And she can go off. Now, she's my friend. I've known her for almost 10 years. I know that that's who she is, and I need her to still work on it. But I know that that's who she is. I know that she's not ghosting me. I'm not going to be like, oh, if you don't give me the same energy that I'm giving you, I'm going to ghost. Because the day that she meets me, I'll be ghost that is coming. Not because of anything, but because life has caught up with me or something is going on. And I'm like, ah, sorry. I did not reply to you 2 weeks ago. I'm sorry. Right? And so I think, like, but still, I know that I got at the back of my head, and in the front of my head, I know that my friend is somewhere. I know that I have a friend somewhere. I know that I have someone in my corner that I can call on or I can talk to when the going gets tough. I think that's what it means when a relationship is symbiotic. When both parties are getting value from a relationship, is that I know that, like, you got my back and I got your back. Not because we're talking every day, not because we're seeing every day, not because we're hanging out every day, but because I know that, like, you got my back, right? And I think that's a really, really important part of friendship that we should talk about. And I think there's no greater friendship as a person of faith. There's no greater friendship, or there's no greater better foundation to put your friendship on that will be greater than Jesus. When both of you don't align in faith, I'm not saying all your friends would be people of faith. You have acquaintances and you have people that might not be people of faith. But when you're talking about your inner circle, when you're talking about people that you run to and that you trust their judgment, or that you trust God speaking through them in your life, there has to be a value of faith, right? There just has to be that connection. Not like because they are going to church or anything. I mean that, like, these are people who really trust God and are walking with God. I'm not saying that they have to be pastors. I'm not saying they have to be evangelists. I'm not saying they have to be, like, I'm not saying they have to be, like, mighty power that when they speak in tongues like this, the world of the earth will shake. But I'm saying that they're people that are walking with God. I would take consistency in work with God over just like one level attainment and sticking with this. Growing and continuous growing and consistency in growing in God is really important. So I think, again, I just repeated everything you said. So you did say something and you did not go off the trail. I don't know if you wanted to add to that or if I kind of summed it up well.
You did, but I wanted to mention something because friendship is so it's huge. It's really, really huge. The importance of people that are in your circle. Now, I mentioned earlier that I have not made friends in NYC, right? However, I don't have more than how many friends? Maybe five. I don't know. I can probably count them off with the tip of my fingers. But I know that these ones, I have them. And why? Because we share the same values. I have a friend who is not a Christian and is not even I think she's in another state. We're in Nigeria together, but she's in another state. I'm a terrible person, as you have said. I will repeat it. I'll claim
you
it.
You can't even deny chest. It. I will expose you.
I will claim it. But like you said, I think I called her recently. I don't know when. And she's like, oh, girl, you just forgot that I exist. And, you know, we had a long conversation. Point is, what keeps us is the fact that even this person might be... now, it's not the religion that matters. It's not about religion. What does this person believe? What is this person's belief? What does this person hold true, right? What is there to this person? This person might be of another religion, Muslim, but she respects... Yes, she respects my religion. She knows that, this is who this person... I also respect... I know your standpoint. Is this something I can deal with? Yes, this is something that I can... Yes, it is. And so it doesn't... I'm not going to say... I'm really not going to... I don't need somebody that I can say, I need you to come to Christ. I need you... But, like, that is... I'm trying to be... That is something else entirely. But if you are my friend, we are on a certain level together. Like you mentioned already, consistency. What you hold true. Which, if we are Christians now, this is our faith in God, our belief in God. We constantly believe in Him. And if it is... And you... Even though you are a Muslim, I know you also have this belief, and you constantly I can't even discriminate anybody's religion. I can't, but I know that you hold true to Him. You also consistently work with Him. You know that if there's anything you can talk to me, even though you're Muslim, you can still talk to me. I can still pray for you. Do you understand? We hold the same values. So dear, I think that is something I cannot move by size. Yeah, the values that you hold true. I know family is important to you. Is important.
What
to
are
me,
like your general life values? Yes. And again, definitely, yeah. I do appreciate you adding of like, it's not a discrimination against religion. I mean, I don't want to sound like. I'm going to say what I don't want to sound like, and then I will not sound like it. But I don't want to sound like...
Let's hear you.
Why is this... The pressure is getting worse. But over here in the US, a lot of times, like when we call out people who are racist, and they're like, oh, I'm not racist because I have black friends. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's not a strong point for racism, though. So I don't want to say, oh, it's not about the religion. And I'm like, oh, I have Muslim friends. And that's what I'm trying to say, that I don't want to sound like. But I think it's not even about Muslim or not. There are a ton of religions out there. And there are tons of beliefs out there. There are certain things that have to do with the faith that I will not go to someone who is not a believer. If I'm talking about conversations around praying in the Holy Ghost or talking about conversations of the Holy Spirit or hear from God, I'm not going to go to somebody who doesn't believe in God, right? I think that's where that respect comes in. I think that's where I was going to of like, there is that background in faith that does help in friendship relationship. Even when I have people from other faith or other religion or other belief or lack thereof, there is still that connection, when, you know, if it's someone mm-hmm. of the faith, that certain things that I can take to them that they can understand, because like a lot of my decisions and my perspective are built on the faith, if that makes sense. And so mm-hmm. I hear like over and over people talk about cutting friends away once like they are not giving you the same energy. And like I feel like there's this new, well, this it's not new, so to say. There's this idea of like cutting people off.
Yeah.
Of like mm-hmm. it doesn't work for me, we're not mm-hmm. in the same place, I'm gonna cut you off. Right?
I can't relate.
Kindly expatiate.
Well, yeah, I get you. I don't get it. Like, I do not understand this trend, right? Because we are no longer students, we are not kids, we are adults. Life happens, a lot happens. I mean, there are different stages, right? And so, why am I cutting you off? Why? Because you're not replying my message. Because why am I cutting you off? Like, what is the reason? Did you need me and I was not there for you? If I was not there for you, was everything okay with me? Did you check in to know that, oh, was I just living life and just chilling, and did I just dump you? If you check through these things, there is something somewhere. If that person was your friend, the person will not just leave you hanging.
True.
It's not possible. It's not possible. And so I can't, there can be lack of communication. I mean, this is me. Do you understand? But if you are my friend though, if I need you, I will check apart from needing you, once you come to my head, I'll check up on you. Whether I reply or don't reply, I know what you say to you, eventually reply. But maybe people have cut me off, I don't even know like this, but
I think you've been cut off and you don't know.
Maybe I've been cut off and I don't know. Can't
check any loose wires.
Because we all have stress and weaknesses. Like, there is no perfect human being. And so maybe that person was weak at some point. How about you just stressing the other person? So I don't understand. I honestly don't understand that cutting off concept. Because why? Why are you? It's no more than... I saw something recently on a blog. Not a blog, an Instagram post. How to distance, the other person traveled and, you know, she was living life. She saw her friend living the life, taking pictures, you know, and stuff like that. And she felt bad and, you know, they could not, yada, yada, yada. Point is, it happens now. It's life. We're adults. Yoruba will say,
20 friends cannot play for 20 years. Let's just say the English. Don't, yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you. You know, you cannot remain in the same space forever. You can't. Life will life you. Adulthood will adult you. And, you know, you'd have to go to different places. Now, what you have to do is think of how to sustain the friendship. We now bring back intentionality. You have to be. I mean, if I have to book appointment to talk to you, I'll say, even though we have to postpone it.
It doesn't even work. No, I say, just call me. Call me. Don't even. Let's call at 6 o'clock because that's when I'll be sleeping.
You will cut up and vulnerability. If you mess up, true. I should be able to tell you, I do not like what you did. Like, I should not. This whole thing of keeping it in your mind and, you know, just forming opinions and making assumptions. Why? When you can just ask the person, okay, what happened? Now, if you think the excuse or the reason is not valid enough, communication is important. Oh, okay, but, well, you can do better next time. Just talk through it. Honestly, like, just talk through it. If the person is your friend or was your friend, I mean, a conversation, except, you know, which, like I said, Do you get why I'm cutting you off? Why will I cut you off? Say we don't talk for 1 month. I've been 2 months now.
It's not the same energy. I'm not getting the same energy, so I have to cut you off. Yeah, it's about the energy. I love how you said you cannot relate. Now, I'll say this. I believe there are different stages of friendship and different levels of friendship. I keep it to the corner, right? I believe that we're seeing more and more of it because the I don't want to call it the gospel. We were saying it is the gospel or something is very, very wrong. The message of self is growing more and more. I believe that we lose the aspect of service in relationship. When we lose the idea that our friendship is also service to each other or service to one another, and it's not just about me, myself, and I, and what I get to benefit or how I just feel. I think when we begin to see that in friendships, I think it would solve a lot of problems. It would solve some problems. I also think that there are different types of friends, right? I think there are friends that are circumstantial, right? Some of us had classmates that we love, we follow on Instagram, follow on social media, we talk to once in a while. But I know some of my classmates that were friends back then in hostel. I mean, in secondary school, aka high school. And they are still friends till now. Like, you can still see that they are talking, and I'm like, yeah. But then again, there are even those versions. There are still levels to the friendship, right? Like Bamzi and I, for instance, went to secondary school together, right? And we're still probably one of those, like the other friends that I'm saying that like are still tight from that season or from that level, right? And there are some that like, oh, we'll still chat once in a while and we still have the relationship. We're not enemies, but there's a level in our friendship. There's a level in our circle. Right, in each of our circles, and I think that's really important. However, I still don't believe that that's enough reason to just like, oh, this person's not giving me what I want, cut, block, delete. I know that people are people. I know that people hurt you, and we can talk about what are those things that can happen that can make us say, oh, I want to block this person off. However, I'm good to however a lot of things. I still believe that. Even regardless of the level of friendship, maybe we are high friends, or we are, we chat once in a while kind of friends. We have each other on WhatsApp. We send each other, like, we reply to each other's story. We give each other congratulations. Or we are the type of friends that are, like, tight, where, like, I know when you are giving birth, who you are giving birth to, how you are giving the birth. You know, like, there is that level of friendship, right, where it's, like, your inner circle. And I think it's different for people. Honestly, this issue of friendship is just fluid because someone can be in your inner circle today and then they go into, like we were saying, it's a different season. And then they come back it's like, oh, goes back to what's the background and how much am I being vulnerable? How much are we being vulnerable to each other? I think when vulnerability begins to reduce, right? Or... when it's not as consistent, that's when sometimes we get to see friendships go down. And I want to acknowledge that people have been burned. I just want to say that. People have been burned by people. I have been burned by people, right? And I'm sure you have. And so, which is really, really hard. It's really, really hard when we're burned by friendship. When we're burned by people that we love and we cherish and they hurt us. And I don't know what kind of offense, I don't know what you think, but I don't know what kind of offense makes us be like, oh, you are definitely out of my league, or when I say out of my league, you're out of my circle. And what kind of offense is like, because the devil always brings a rock of offense. If I love you, you're gonna hurt me, right? I was reading a book this week and the writer was like, if we don't give ourselves over, if we're not vulnerable to each other, what happens is that we have a heart that is indestructible, that is impenetrable. Like, you have a stone. Hearts are made to feel emotions, to feel hurt, to feel happiness, to feel pain. So when you're like, I want to guard my heart, I don't want anybody to come in my circle, this peace that you feel when you just limit the people that come within you, and I'm like, I get where that is coming from, but are you really living though? Because yes, nobody ever wants to feel pain, but pain is part of the heart was made to feel pain. Like, it will feel, if pain wasn't an emotion that is meant to be felt, we won't have a word for it, right? So I don't know what you think, or if the offense is personally for you.
I think yeah, like you said, well, I have never, I don't see the need to cut people. Like, I feel like that cuts what is so
strong. Like, cancel culture.
Say, out of my life. Do you understand? Yeah, but are there times where you need to create boundaries? Yes, possibly. Yes, absolutely.
I love the use of that word.
Absolutely. I mean, if for some reason, I mean, over the years, some other person, their values might change. The person might not be what you need anymore because for some reason, maybe something has changed with the person, and the person no longer serves you how they used to serve you before. Now, maybe you have tried to have a conversation. Now, this is apart from somebody bullying you. Now, you have tried to have a conversation, and you see that it is not working. I don't need to cut you off. I would definitely set a boundary. I know that it might not be how it used to be, but I'm still there for you, Sha. Do you understand? From inner circle to
outer circle.
not necessarily acquaintances, right? But we're just not where we used to be, and that is okay. Like, it is absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. But cut you off, I won't. Now, even I've not been burnt so bad. I think even though I am a people's person, I sort of just feel energy, and nobody has burnt me, you know. I sort of know how to create boundaries. Like, I know if, you know, I just, you really, I don't know how to put it, but I've never been burnt badly. However, I have created boundaries. Do you understand? I haven't been burnt badly, but I know that I have created boundaries. If I see that, this person, you cannot, I won't cut you off. You'll be high. We'll be high. But I know that I will not let you into my space so much so that you will hurt me. So yes, cutting you off, no. Will I create boundaries? Yes, I will. If I need to. If I see the need to create boundaries. If I also see the need to let my guard down, be vulnerable to you, of course, yes, I will. But I just know to create boundaries, you know, if need be. I mean, I could give examples, but yes. I had someone who was, was it not creditworthy? I'll call it now. You know, but let me never go into that story. But if I have to create boundaries, yes, I will. I know to create boundaries.
I mean, it's totally fine if it's a story that might kind of lead to murder and all of that. But I know that the people that we love hurt us. And I went through that this past couple of weeks. I still am in it. People that we love hurt us. And again, this could be me and the way I see things, and could be my heart. There are certain things that will happen, and I don't want to limit it or list certain things that maybe for some of us a value is just an automatic no. Right? For instance, you know, maybe your friend starts to I don't want to list it. There are certain things that people that you trust do that they will do that, and you'd be like, okay, I gotta give you some boundaries. I gotta give you space. Now, it's not every time that somebody does something to you that hurts you that you immediately create boundaries. Because this is what happens. Like I was saying, the people that we love will hurt us and we will feel pain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I kept using the word the rock of offense, where there's a rock of offense.
Mm-hmm.
However, God encourages us to forgive. Forgiveness is hard. Forgiveness mm-hmm. is really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's certain things that you have done for mm-hmm. me that, like, I don't want to open your yarn mm-hmm. in public. But, like,
I remember one that happened.
Because we just said that story. And, like, the number of people that tried to settle that fight, it wasn't that you did that we did to each other mm-hmm. because we were put wrong. It's not even that you did for me.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong choice of language. That we both did to each other. It hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
If that mm-hmm. thing we did, which I've only had more information recently, this guy will be the end of it. Will not be the end of me in Jesus' name.
Oh yeah, I remember. Okay, you know, yes. Like,
if we left that place the way things were, and we were like, Oshé, mm-hmm. energy, people in my circle, Oshé, bye. I can't imagine what I would have lost in you as a friend and as a support system. To mm-hmm. be honest. And so
I think that's my foundation, because if I met you during NYC, if I just met you and mm-hmm. that thing happened, that would have been the end now. Right. That would have been the end. I mean, that was my business with you anyways, but that's I think that's why I take foundation so important, because okay, I know this mm-hmm. I cannot lose you, because mm-hmm. this one that happened,
yeah,
so come and it will go. I will still do another one to me.
Oh yes.
Sure that mm-hmm. it will happen. But well, then I'll say I understand that this does not define you. This thing that you did is not you are human. We have strength, we have weakness, we are places where we fall short. We will fall short. However, I know that is why I tell my teams in church too. I try to focus on the positive. I try to focus on this person's strength. So even when you mess up, I say, okay. Yes, you've done this, but I'm going to look at this. This is how you are helping my life. So
you have
done this one. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
You've done this for me.
I was telling someone this week, and I was like, I am in between. I want to acknowledge, and we're not saying you shouldn't acknowledge hurt or pain. I was telling the person, I'm like, I want to acknowledge the amount of pain that I feel from this thing that happened. And I also want to acknowledge that they're human and that I can extend mm-hmm. grace. And this is what
mm-hmm.
and this is something I do want to say, is that forgiveness is hard. But mm-hmm. if you think of how much God forgives us, and it's easier said than done, because I'm literally mm-hmm. in it, you know. But if you can think mm-hmm. of like the concept of grace, that's why, again, it goes back to foundation. It goes back to faith, right? Like your own faith
mm-hmm.
also determines how you navigate friendship,
mm-hmm.
you know, because
mm-hmm.
if I've received the love of God in my heart and I understand the concept of God's love and I understand the concept of God forgiving mm-hmm. me, even when I want to hold mm-hmm. that rock of offense and slam it at that person's head, something will hold me back. Mm-hmm. There are definitely times where maybe I'll not throw it at their head, I'll throw it at their toe so that it will pain them small. I always feel to be like, well done.
Mm-hmm.
You should have wanted to get something back, right? But even in that moment,
mm-hmm.
something should hold me back in my heart. Even in that moment of offense, that like, I want to mm-hmm. have grace towards you. I don't want to, but the Holy Spirit is putting it in me, and I don't want to listen to the Holy Spirit, but I got to, because that's who I am. And that's whose I am, is that I extend grace and I'm forgiven. Now, I always used to say this thing that the Bible says we should be, what was the word? No, it's not, is it kind to each other or something? Oh, make peace with one another. I always thought that thing meant I have to be friends with everybody. You know, I can be at peace with you and you know, and we won't be tight. It's not like I have to not be vulnerable with you and tell you where my life is going. Like, I can make peace with you and like, it's a heart posture. I believe that's what the Bible is saying when it says make peace with one another. It's have a heart posture where like, you are not seeing somebody and you want to stone them. You can pass left and I can pass right. But that doesn't mean that I will mean you evil. Or that I will snap my finger and say, we'll see now. Or we'll see what will happen to you now. And so I just want to say of like, we're not saying that it's wrong to be hurt, because I know people who have been hurt by people. People are wicked. We people are wicked to we people. I don't know how best to say it. And I don't know what it is that can make you hold boundaries or step down. I think it's different for everyone. It's different for different situations. That's why I don't want to give specifics of like, if it's this thing, you can let it go now. Or if it's this thing, you cut them off. But I just hope that whatever it is that you listen to the Holy Spirit and let him direct whatever decision you make on friendship is my own opinion. And I think as we've talked about, you know, we've talked about our background, we've talked about our own journey, but we've also talked about the fact of like the concept of vulnerability, the concept of faith and background in what we do, the concept of value and benefiting each other, not just in financial and not just in network, but value in terms of being there for one another. We've talked about friendships across stages. We've talked about friendship in seasons. We've talked about how this message of self is an opposite. It could be a poison to friendship, because friendship is about service, and it's only about what I want. I myself. We lose the power of people and the power of community. I don't know if you wanted to add anything. You know, as we've talked about friendship without borders, right? Not limited by, when we say friendship without borders, it's not just because your friend is in the UK and you're in Nigeria, or your friend is in the US and you're in Canada. Like, that's not just the friendship without borders that we're saying. Like, friendship without borders here is without borders of social roles. You've talked about like, when you were married, I wasn't. When you had a kid, when you had your son, I didn't have mine, right? And so, like, that's the border. Like, without social role borders, without financial borders, without physical borders, without spiritual borders, even, like, you've rightly talked about, of, like, we might not even be in the same faith, you know, but we have the same value, and we have that connection. So I don't know if you wanted to add anything to that. I just wanted to kind of, you know, it's easy to say all those things and people are like, oh my God, like what? Yeah, like, let's sum it in. We actually know what we're saying. We're actually going somewhere. So I don't know if you wanted to add anything as we kind of wrap up.
Nothing more, just we should, I mean, bridges can get burnt.
Hallelujah.
And it can be mended. Bridges can get burnt and they can be mended. And the two people, you have to be willing. Now, if that bridge, just imagine a bridge going down. If the two people on both sides do not, one person cannot just fix it. It has to be the two people willing to fix it, right? Yes, it has to be two people. It can't be just one person. And so, I think I just wanted to mention that. I don't know, but I just wanted to mention bridges. They can get burned. It can go down. Amen. And it can still come back up. It can. It is very possible. I mean, is this person worth it? Does this? I mean, think back. Just forget this one that is happening. I mean, just think back. You know, and I mean, I cannot tell the extent to which some people have been hurt. But as the Christian that I am, I just said have, you're about
to. Hate factor.
As the Christian that I am, right? The love chapter, the First Corinthians 13, is how I should the love is not for a particular set of people.
Everyone.
Love is to everybody. And so, if you hurt me, I will try my best. I will pray to God that I forgive you. I will try my best. Will you come back to where you used to be? Maybe yes, maybe not. I cannot say. Right? But will I forgive you? I will try my absolute best.
Amen.
God help me.
Amen.
God help me. Right? So, yeah. So, love is not to a particular... It's not just for my friends. I will not love only my friends. Now, every human being deserves a level of... what's the word? Every human being deserves love, deserves to be. Every characteristics of that first Corinthians 13. Everybody deserves it. Amen. Every human being deserves it. And so, you know, what would I say? What more would I say? But keep your friends tight. Cutting off. Why are you cutting? Think back. Think about it. You just think about it. Why do I want to cut this person off? Why? If it is, there is nothing, I don't think there's any reason to. Nothing is what's cutting anybody off. You know, just live and let live. Love.
Love and light.
Love, 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 love without bound. Yeah, love and light. Peace, love and light.
In other words, in summary, love and light. Love and light. Love and light. Love and light. Love.
Man cut me off. Man cut. Man cut. Your sisters will burn. Your sisters will burn.
Is it a threat?
And he's listening by that wants to cut me off.
Yeah, we are going to burn while in this together. We will rough it. We will rough it. We will be okay. We will be okay. Isn't that the beauty of life? Is that we go through ups and downs. We go through the rumble and the tumble. We get.
Can't tell the story now.
Yeah,
like,
and there's still more stories to tell. There's still more life situations to happen. Thank you.
To old and gray.
My listeners are gonna be like, ah, who is this person that this girl featured today that is making her like this? This is who Shewin is to me. She brings out the love in me, but she also brings out the part of me that a lot of people don't get to see. The last part of me that is just plain and true and just old, like just open up there. But thank you so much for joining. You know, I hope you all are blessed. If you have a friend that you're trying to reconcile with and you're like, you're looking for a way of connection, you want to build a bridge back, but you don't know if they want to build the bridge. You're not God, you're not in their heart. Just maybe send this podcast to them, or just say something, or post it on your story, or share it to someone that you know that like is really going through hard situations with friendship. We're not the ultimate source of truth. God is through the Holy Spirit, and so please submit it to God. We are just sharing from our own perspective and our own lives. So share, like, follow the podcast wherever you listen to. And once again, thank you, Shewin, for joining PGC. Thank you all for listening, and I will catch you on another episode. Have a good one. Bye.